October 17, 2018, it's SWAT from Pedro Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we go to our second show of the season. The Dolce Gays and Deep Rocks, then John Coltrane as the quintet.
I was the only face with a name, and you wouldn't leave without me. I was waiting on New Year's Day to change everything about me. And the woman in your life at that time was hanging on the line. As doctors looked you over, a seasoned veteran in the theater of life, couldn't help but second guess you as I sat by your side. And I regret it now. Space between and the line that makes every mile seem shorter, to be the only gleam in the eye of some beautiful beholder. Am I to you just a way to pass the time, a means to rectify the twiddling of thumbs, the restlessness of limbs didn't keep you up at night, but something else always did, something always did, and you know what it is.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Brother Matt, unavailable. He's going on another trip. Can you believe, Brother Matt, the journey in typing is a retirement mode. I'm not retired from traveling, so I think he ain't going to be back from a week of Friday. So we're planning on getting back that way. We start off the show with Greensleeves. Old standard, John Coltrane, 1961, Village Gate. And then a song from today's guest, because of those geniuses in Estonia that created the Skype software, I got with me from Charleston, South Carolina, Dylan Dickerson. Welcome aboard, Dylan.
Hey, Watt, thanks for having me, man.
We heard your song, Seasoned Veteran. Dylan, what's your... earliest music memory?
Oh, man. I think the earliest music memory I can think of, my dad used to always have an old cheap keyboard around, and before I ever really knew how to play anything proper, I would love to just kind of bang around on the keys on that and make noise to just whatever music was playing in the house. That's about as early as I can remember.
Did he have this keyboard in the living room or something?
Yep, exactly. It's in the corner of the living room, right next to either a radio or whatever we had. He was playing music out of, and that's about all the jamming he'd really do. He would just play along to records that he liked. He never played with anybody, which I always thought was surprising because he's pretty talented, but he just plays along to records at home. That's his thing.
Okay, so your earliest memory of music was playing on it was kind of his hobby.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did he write songs?
Not that I know of. I asked him if he ever had any bands when he was younger, but he never did.
No, he's like jamming along to the music he's hearing, like he was in the band.
Exactly, yeah. It, like he's Elton John playing Saturday Night's All Right or
sure.
whatever it was.
Sure, sure. Oh, so it was like, yeah, it could have a bunch of different sounds in like an organ or a piano or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like I think organ's kind of what he leans towards. He okay. definitely well, likes said, to just kind of like hang out on the high end.
You said Saturday Night is All Right for fighting, and I remember that having a big piano part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just kind of that driving piano.
Kind of Jerry Lee, yeah, Little Richard 50s mm-hmm. kind of thing, yeah. I think it was a tribute yeah. to those days because the words kind of point to that. And fighting. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So did your pop encourage you to fucking play this thing? Or what about, like, lessons or something?
He definitely encouraged me to play. He had kind of a stern... Dad, occasionally, or at least when he was a teenager, like, they kind of butted heads sometimes, especially about his, like, hippie interests, and, so whenever I was going through the same, you know, teenage years and all, he always told me to grow my hair out and keep writing songs, so, I don't have long hair, but I'm still writing songs.
But, did he want you to play no, you ended up playing guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, tell me about that. When you're young and you got that keyboard there and you're, like, banging on it, he doesn't, like, say, hey, I'm going to find... You know, like some people, they got a piano in the living room. Hey, we're going to give you piano lessons.
Right, yeah. I do remember at one point him taking me to get guitar lessons. He never pushed piano on me. Okay. Originally, my first instrument that I actually picked up, you know, with the intention of, like, trying to learn it was a bass because my older brother, Eli, he's 11 years older than me, and he played bass... So whenever I was a kid, he'd always have bands over already. So I started on bass, and then I think I moved to guitar out of necessity because the guys I was playing with, maybe there was a bass player already. Something never really felt like I was choosing it. Just felt like it needed to be filled. But then I only went to lessons for like a week, and I think I tried to get him to teach me Mars Volta or something that was just crazy out of reach for both the instructor and myself, and that was...
The bass player won. He's quite a great, good player. There was a bass in the pad, but it was in your brother's room.
Yep, yep. A cheap Radio Shack bass at first, and then
Radio Shack.
Probably something nicer.
I didn't know Radio Shack made basses. All right.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
We had a couple Radio Shacks in Pedro here. They're it's all closed now. But I didn't know they had bass guitars. Wow. I wonder if they had somebody else make them for them.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Talk about a store business. Sears yesterday did bankruptcy, and I think they used to have Dan Electro make them guitars, and they called the line Silvertone. And I think Monkey Ward had something with Airline or National or something like that. What about school? Did you take a class, music like? Chorus or choir or the marching yep. band or shit like this?
Well, me and the drummer in the band, we both grew up in the same town. We've been playing music together since like 10th grade probably. But we were in middle school together and had band class, but for some reason there was no teacher. So I was in the class for about a month with no instrument and no teacher. My mom pulled me out. Just because she wanted me in, like, a class with a teacher. And that was the end of my formal training. The rest of it's just been figuring it out on my own, sometimes the hard way. I'm sure I play some things in ways that there's some easier technique for, but I kind of appreciate...
What were they doing there? You would go to class, there's no teacher, so what, everybody's just jamming, or...?
No, there's no instrument, so we were just sitting and goofing off from what I remember. Nothing.
So no music. Maybe worse. There's zero music.
Yeah, zero music.
That's so strange. Then why'd they call it a music class?
I think that's just South Carolina public schools for you, man.
Well, hey, over here, you know, that's why Flea started the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music, because they had gotten rid of their music program at Fairfax High. When he went back there, he told me it didn't exist, and he was like, what? This is where I played trumpet. So... Maybe South Carolina ain't that behind.
Okay. Yeah.
At least they still got the program. They just don't do anything.
Yeah, you just got to get a teacher.
What about other stuff, like influences. Like, what was the first record you bought?
Oh, man, the first record I bought. I wouldn't necessarily call it an influence at all these days, but I think the first, like, three records that I purchased were Aerosmith CDs from, like, a Walmart in town, which is...
All right. What about the first gig? What was the first gig you went and saw?
Oh, at the Ohio Galpolis State Fair or County Fair, I saw, who was it, 38 Special when I was really little. And then I think the next gig would have been one of my brother's gigs. I think I went to a house show or something he played when I was still in elementary school.
Sure.
So.
And I'm always curious about that stuff because that's your first experience with a live thing, and you ended up playing in a band. In fact, we're going to listen to it now. Priscilla from Deer Blanca. Blanca, I should say. Huh?
Under surveillance, It's no coincidence you won't survive the googly eyes. Under surveillance, it's no coincidence you won't survive the googly eyes. You're under surveillance, it's no coincidence you won't survive the googly eyes.
Let me record his blood.
Pedro show, that was Priscilla, dear Blanca. Blanca, we were just talking about. It's not Blanca, people. It's Glenn Branca, but not Bronca. And you know who was, you know, I did the Symphony No. 13 when it was played here at Disney Music Place in downtown L.A., and I asked him, because I heard this rumor, about his favorite band. You know who Glenn Branca's favorite band is? You know, the guy who kind of, with Rhys Chatham, influenced Sonic Youth for that kind of sound, you know?
Yeah, and who was it?
His favorite band was Aerosmith.
Wow.
Shows to go.
We got something in common here with me in my childhood days.
We heard Priscilla, Dear Branca, Blanca. Fuck. Keep saying that. M.B. Jones out of Massachusetts, Googly Eyes. I think he recorded that in Busan in Korea. There's No God Where I Am from Alex Young, Huntai, David Morhanha, and Gabriel Farandini, Portuguese guys that Alex is playing with these days. King Champion Sounds has a new album out of Holland with Clouds of Money, and then Boulders from Dear Blanca. So, yeah, these Dear Blanca guys, the drummer man that you had a music class where you didn't do music. How'd this band get together?
Oh, man, I think, well, we started playing together in a different group in high school. The two of us and a friend of ours named JB.
Right. You met him in junior high, right?
Yeah, we met in junior, well, actually, I think I met him when I was 9, so well, in elementary class. School, but we started...
Yeah,
what
was that
class
stupid class? Yeah. And what was the name of that school? We should now know the name of that school.
Georgetown Middle School in Georgetown, South Carolina.
Yeah, okay. So this is where, well, be careful, people, if you send your kids there and think they're going to be taking a music class. It's kind of more like a babysitting class. Okay. So you meet him when you're 9, actually in grade school, but you guys don't start playing until...
Probably high school, 10th grade is when we started playing together.
Okay. Now, how'd that happen? And
I think my friend JB, who was the third member of that project, the two of us were playing as a two-piece, and we were just kind of making do, switching off on drums, but neither one of us are really drummers by trade. So we if we just recruited Mark, we could tell he was in his early days of kind of getting behind the kit and getting excited about it, and he was already so good. So we just recruited him.
Who's and then drums? Me and Mark have been playing music ever since. If you and JB weren't drummers, where was this, at your pad or his pad?
Yeah, generally we practiced in my bedroom at the time, which was directly above my parents who put up with all the racket.
Yeah, where did this drum set come from?
A different brother of mine had the kit. So
okay,
my
okay.
A brother.
I didn't know. You have to tell me.
Yeah, man, I got a big
family.
You got
family, a lot of music from your family. Okay, that's great. You're just the last in line. Okay, so
yeah,
it was cool because they got the fucking bass for you. They got the fucking drums. That's pretty.
Yeah, the gear was there. You had to start making some noise on it.
Yeah, right. So you bring the drum set in there and you take turns with JB, but it ain't happening. So you get your other buddy, the young guy that you met earlier. And this ain't Dear Blanca, so what's it called?
This group was called Old Canoe.
Old Canoe. That sounds like a teenager,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, right. I think we were inspired by, like, there's nothing to do in Georgetown. There's no venues, nothing. So we spent all of our time in a canoe, so we just didn't know what else to do but to name a band after it, I guess. But yeah, Mark and I went off to college together, and JB was up here too, but then that band dissolved, and I spent about, like, 6 months writing a new batch of songs, and as soon as they were ready, I pulled in Mark, who's the drummer, and
so Dead Canoe, Old Canoe, you guys started writing songs even in your first band.
Yeah, that was actually probably my second band. I think the first band was summer of eighth grade, and we were, you know, we barely knew how to play our instruments, but we were gigging and getting out there.
Who was in this band?
JB was the front man of that band.
Okay.
And then there were two or three other guys, they've all moved to different parts of either the state or just
sure.
The
okay,
East Coast.
Okay, so it's your
point.
Second band. Because I wanted to ask you about your first gig in front of people. What was that, a house party, a backyard, a kegger?
I think it was a friend's birthday party.
Okay.
In their garage with that first band. They were kind of like, to be honest, I would say that first band, which was, I mean, if you thought Old Canoe sounded like a young band's name, this band was called Comrades with Cyanide, which is as telling of our age as possible. But we were just, I mean, I barely knew how to string a guitar, but I was just a huge fan of like 70s and just kind of punky stuff from that era, specifically like the Stooges and things of that nature. So we were just kind of trying to do our best to be inspired by that kind of sound and do our own thing, but
you were writing originals though in this band.
Yeah. We didn't have a ton. We probably had like 6 original songs, and then we played a Johnny Thunders tune sometimes, and a handful of other, maybe a Dead Boys song or something like that.
Uh huh. So but did it go over good? Was it scary? I mean, what was the gig like?
Well, the first gig was, like I said, at a friend's birthday, so that was, I mean, it was lots of familiar faces. I think the next gig was a venue up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's been closed for years, called The Social. And it was just kind of a dive bar. And it was just crazy. At that point, we had to get dropped off by our parents at the gigs because I think JB was the only one with a license at the time. And he couldn't fit all the gear in his car. But our parents would drop us off. It was a pretty rough part of town. They'd want us to, like, not get too far from the venue and wander off.
Yeah, you're underage, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have been 14, maybe, or something like that.
And you're playing a bar.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of strange.
That's all right. Some states, they let you do that. You got to, like, usually wait in the kitchen or something. You can only be on stage.
Yeah, I don't remember really
okay,
ever
so,
having any
so
weird
these
situation.
Two bands, this is through high school and shit. How does the Dear Blanca get together?
Let's see. So after that second band sort of dissolved, I just had a bunch of songs I was cooking up, but wasn't sure what I wanted to do with them. So I sort of toured around a little bit, just not a ton of shows, but enough to get my feet wet with it. And I was playing as a one-man band, just doing like bass, drum, and hi-hat and guitar. And then as soon as I felt like the songs had kind of taken shape, I recruited Mark, and we went up and recorded our first record just kind of super fast. It was a friend recorded the first one for free, and he was essentially like the fill-in third member of the band for that. And in recent years, since the second record came out for Dear Blanca, we've become kind of a three-piece with a rotating fourths. Like, there's always been like one additional member on every record that kind of changes, but based off of just who's around that we kind of recruit.
So the first, were you doing gigs as a one-man band?
Yeah.
So you were playing like drum set and guitar and singing?
Yeah, like a bass drum and a hi-hat, guitar, vocals, yeah. Just a rudimentary kit, enough to make it a little bit bigger sounding.
Sure. And then a guitar and then singing. Yeah. But then recording, you could overdub and shit, right?
Yeah, I only recorded one thing in that time period where I was kind of one-man banding, and it was, I played everything, but then I still recruited Mark to play drums on it. So he's pretty much been there for all of it.
Right. And then he goes back to 9 years old even, shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty bitching.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 12 when I met D. Boone, so, I mean, 9 is pretty good.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Yeah. So, but then there's been a floating thing with the other cats, yeah.
Which has actually kind of been cool because it's just made each record sense kind of just have a little bit, some sort of pizzazz that wouldn't have been there otherwise, you know?
And then there's, like, variation on the core each time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just, the spirit of collaboration has been there for this project the whole time through. We're pretty open to, we're an open door band, is I guess how I'd put it.
Where'd you get the name?
Well, Blanca was my grandmother's name, and she was a huge, she really, really pushed for me to play music. She could tell how much I cared about it.
Okay.
She would always tell me to get lessons. I didn't really listen to her and just figured it out on my own. But yeah. I think just having that force to tell me, you know, go for it, that meant a lot to me.
Your grandma, is this your father's mother?
Yep.
Okay. So she probably instilled her boy into music. And, yeah, you're the grandson. That's a great gift that she gave you, Dill.
Yeah, I always really appreciate it, which is why I kind of just wanted the band name to sort of be a testament to that, just because it really made a big influence on me to have somebody who wanted me to pursue it as opposed to, you know, telling me to get a real job or something, you know?
Stop it up. Yeah. Well, your pop was telling you to write songs, too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the whole family was pretty supportive.
Maybe that's the tradition. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know? So when Dear Blanca went into the studio, so it's kind of, the name is tribute to her. Yeah, I understand. When you guys first went into the studio as a band, where was that? Was that Charleston?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny that you say Charleston. I feel like we always get lumped in there because that's sort of our home away from home. We play there a good bit, but we're actually from Columbia, South Carolina.
Which is in the middle. Yeah, I know it. Actually, you guys got a USC and so do we.
Yeah. That's where you guys Mark are, and I went to college.
We're Trojans and you're Gamecocks.
Exactly, yeah. But, oh man, I lost my train of thought, I guess.
No, what you're saying is you guys ain't actually a Charleston band, you're a Columbia band.
Yeah.
You know what
bass players
from Columbia, South Carolina? He ended up in Detroit. James Jamerson.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you, Dylan. He's actually a Columbia cat. Now, you know, he made his name in Detroit with all that Motown and everything and ended up in L.A. In fact, we don't know where the bass is, right? That funk machine, Fender P bass, we don't know where it is. Someone stole it, you know. It's out there somewhere. And all those, he's like on 200 top tens or something, like, right? And I think he broke one G string. He broke a G string, and all the other ones were done with the same set of string over those years. Pretty amazing.
That's funny, man. I feel like some people just love the sound of like a dirty, worn out string. It's kind of hard to beat.
He kind of invented bass guitar in a way. He came from stand up, but we all of us on bass guitar owe that man big time. We're at the end of the first hour of the October 17, 2018 edition of the Walk for Pedro Show. Special guest, Dylan Dickerson. Hold tight for hour two. October 17, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
We are the stars. you are. We are the robots.
It's called She Believes. One, two, three.
dancers may be on the floor, but my eyes are still on you. Only you have a magic technique. When we sway, I can speak. I can hear the sound of violin long before it begins.
I can stay out of his way. He sells lies.
Watt for Pedro show started the second hour off with Joint Effort from Der Blanke. Then Strom out of Holland, like what part? In the south there, Rotterdam. Fashion Model. They're incredible band. You got to see Stoma, just bass and a guitar, and they go off, man. Bruno, incredible guy on bass. Pavement, doing a live version, or their kind of version, of Expressway to Your Skull, which is a Sonic Youth. I remember I was in the studio when they were recording that, and Thurston had brought over. It was at Martin Beese's pad, I think. Maybe. Maybe not. I can't remember. But I remember Richard Hell being there, and I was too scared to say anything. Sat next to him the whole time, and I was too afraid in those days. And then Cattiness in the Revenge with Sway. Landfill, that's got Bobby Ho on the drums. Mindless Idiot. Horny Pranks with Plips. And finally, Out of You, Der Blanke. Blanca. Shit. I'm sorry. Back with Dylan here. Okay, so that first album you actually recorded in Columbia?
Well, the first one we recorded in Charlotte.
Okay.
But that was before, the first one with, that was the one we were kind of still a two-piece.
Okay, and people, Charlotte is actually North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a friend up there named Bo White, who's this just incredible musician. He played in a ton of bands that we all love.
Okay.
Like this band, Yardwork, and now he plays in a band called Patois Counselors, but he records everything himself for his projects, and he recorded this epic record that's about like Spanish culture called Same Deal, New Patrones, that it's just a ridiculously good, sprawling record, and we wanted him to, that kind of inspired me to get him to record the first one, so we kind of piecemealed the record, the three of us, me, the drummer, and Bo. But then the next record, Bo recorded as well, but in Columbia, and that was when it was more of a full band, when we got our bass man, Cam, and Dane, who at the time, she was playing like auxiliary percussion and singing background.
Yeah. Did he bring his gear down from Charlotte, or did he use
Simple setup, man. He brought down a computer. I think we actually recorded it on Sony Vegas or something crazy, like movie editing software. I'm surprised that record sounds as good as it does, in my opinion.
Well, you know, DVD, the format is 24-bit, 48K. So,
yeah,
the DVD standard is, if it was done in the 90s or later, then, yeah, I could understand it having good sound.
Yeah, it was, I don't even know what year we would have been making that. Probably like 2000... Yeah, 14 or something
that. So it probably was good sound, you know, even though it's video software. Nowadays, you know, I don't know if you listen to God, they got surround sound and shit. It's like whack with the sound now.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's just so, it's just funny because of all the times I've recorded, that's the only time I've ever seen.
Well, I know a little bit of this because Kay does, in fact, she got an Oscar last year for that Mad Max movie. She taught herself Pro Tools and got into this shit of doing music for TV and movies, and it's pretty up there. It's using Pro Tools. That's what she works with.
Yeah, Pro Tools is kind of convenient. It's pretty user friendly.
Yeah, what do you call it? Ubiquitous. I want to play you Aha. God, when I first saw this title, I thought it was the name of the band.
That's intentional.
Yeah, I know. When I heard the song, let's listen.
Thank you.
the way we first got involved with Ethan James, he's making this compilation called Radio Tokyo Tapes, huh? And he said, look, you give me a song for my comp, and then I'll let you guys record a song for free. Now, he wasn't that familiar totally with Minutemen, so we put three songs together and said it was one. And that ended up being the A-side of Buzzer Hal, Under the Influence of Heat. And then Spot did the B-side, who we've been previously worked with. Beautiful man also. And he did Live to Two Tracks. That fucking record only cost $50.
Damn.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It might be... It's definitely in the running for my favorite of the Minutemen records.
Yeah, I like Double Nickels. But you can see how the band was heading towards that direction with that record, probably.
It's a stepping stone,
I think,
sure.
It's the last one that I play with a pick all the way through. Because I only use a pick on one song, Shit from a No Notepad, and Double Nickels. Okay, we heard Aha from Derek Blanca. We're having a big joke about 80s production off air, listeners. Then Windshield Smasher, the odd Nosdem remix, Black Moth Super Rainbow out of Pittsburgh. Mr. Tom's coming to town soon. Sally Ford and the Sound Outside with I Swear. Flying Calvin. Calvin Newborn, the incredible guitar man. He's in Florida now. God, in his 80s. Rhythm Makes the Heart Grow Stronger. Sporadic, Spontaneous with Can't Live. And for some reason, they put an asterisk for the A. And then finally, Temporary Solution, Dear Blanca. Temporary Solution. Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, I think that song...
Because you bring the song, you say it's a collaboration, but you bring the songs to the people, right?
Well, it kind of depends. I think that one in particular... I had brought a pretty good skeleton of a song for him to work on. The record we're working on now, it's been a little bit of a slow burn getting it together just because we are writing more as a group not completely from scratch. I'll bring like a little musical nugget, but really like purposely not expanding on it a lot on my own so that we can do that together. But Temporary Solution took me a long time to kind of, I think I rewrote the lyrics start to finish three or four times on that song. I just could not figure out what that song was going to be about. And then eventually I was taking a drive somewhere and this dog ran across the road and almost got hit by a car. And while I'm sitting there shocked at like seeing this dog almost die, the dog like looks around and then just takes a shit on the side of the road and moves on. And that was the jumping point. It just seeing him like kind of stare his own like impermanence down and just have a bowel movement as opposed to overthinking it. Something about that is so odd and sort of charming because I think it's easy to get kind of bogged down and thinking too much about things. And
he might have been scared. Dylan, let me relate to you this because, you know, I paddle kayak and sometimes I'm out there, especially cormorant or a heron, I should say. Heron's at Lake Bay. Detroit. No, a heron. They're so nervous. If you come up on them and make a noise, they'd like to take dumps. So
interesting.
Maybe the dog, was freaking out, but you say it's after the event. Or maybe it was like, fuck, he wasn't even aware that he was almost taken out.
Yeah, I'm not really, you know, I can't really say. It was just a dog on the side of the road, but I think he...
But it was epiphany for you.
Yeah, I was startled, and he seemed unfazed. And the rest of the song is not, you know, just the opening line is kind of inspired by that. But the idea of, like, examining your own impermanence and just kind of not getting bogged down. And, I mean, that record is called I Don't Mean to Dwell, which is kind of just referencing the fact that I do tend to dwell on things longer than I would like to. And it's just kind of a song... And like sort of anecdotal, observational about those kind of themes.
So what do? You bring the tune to the guys, and do you explain shit like this, or do you just let them kind of interpret through the music?
I think we just kind of feel it out together. Sometimes, will play a song for a while, and then I'll find out that, you know, they're like, oh, that's what you've been saying on that? Like, once we get, like, the record back or from the wherever we're recording, and yeah. they'll kind of hear it a little clearer than they might in our practice space or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think they're just kind of going for leaning into the dynamics and, you know, kind of as far as, like, the lyrical themes, latching onto that after the fact, which I think kind of creates for interesting juxtaposition sometimes, because maybe if a song is like a little more heavy-hearted, but I don't want the music to have that feel to it, sure. and it can create an interesting balance.
Right, you're like juxtaposing perspectives within the band.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah,
interesting. Well, you know, that's why it's called a band. It's actually more than one dude.
Yep, exactly. I never really want to be any sort of, like, dictator. You know, I always want to, like, half the joy of doing this in the first place is saying, like, oh, here's an idea that I have. What could we do together to make it more interesting? You know, like, I'm never going to tell Mark what to play on drums, because his brain as a drummer is so interesting to me, and he always thinks of something that I think I wouldn't have thought of and that I think is way cooler and more interesting and exciting than what I would have thought of, you know?
Yeah, very generous of you, Bill. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. October 17, 2018, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest, Dylan Dickerson. Hold tight for hour three. October 17, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
grab them kids and give them a little bit of vodka and a cherry coke. We're going to Oklahoma to the family reunion for the first time in years. It's up at Uncle Slayton's cause he's getting on in years. You know he no longer travels, but he's still pretty spry. It's not much on talking, he's just too mean to die. And they'll be coming down from Kansas and from West Arkansas. It'll be one great big old party like you never saw. Uncle Slayton's got his Texan pride back in the thickets with his Asian bride. He's got an Airstream trailer and a Holstein cow. Still makes whiskey cause he still knows how. He plays that Choctaw bingo every Friday night. You know he had to leave Texas, but he won't say why. Owns a quarter section up by Lake Eufaula. Caught a great big old blue cat on a drifting jug line. Sells a hardwood timber to the shipping milkers and crystal meth because of shine don't sell. He cooks that crystal meth because of shine don't sell. You know he likes that money, he don't mind the smell. Cousin Roscoe, Slayton's oldest boy from his second marriage up in Illinois. He's raised in East St. Louis by his mama's people where they do things different. Thought he'd just come on down. He's going to Dallas, Texas in a semi-truck called from that big McDonald's. You know the one that's built up on that great big old bridge across the Will Rogers Turnpike. Took the big cabin exit, stopped and bought a carton of cigarettes at that Indian smoke shop with the big neon smoke rings and the Cherokee Nation hit Muskogee late that night. Somebody ran the stoplight at the Shawnee bypass. Roscoe tried to miss him, but he didn't quite. But may come up from some little town way down by Lake Texoma where he coaches football. They've been 2A champions now for 2 years running, but he says they won't be this year. No, they won't be this year. And he stopped off in Tushka at that pop knife and gun place, bought a SKS rifle and a couple full cases of that steel core ammo with the Verdant primers from some East Block nation that no longer needs a man. Desert Eagle, that's one great big old pistol. I mean, 50 caliber made by badass Hebrews. Those surplus tracers for that old BAR slate. As soon as it gets dark, we're gonna have us a time. We're gonna have us a time. Ruth Ann and Lynn come down from Baxter Springs, and that's one hell-raising town way up in southeastern Kansas. Got a biker bar next to the lingerie store that's got the Rolling Stones lips up there and bright pink neon, and they're right downtown where everyone could see them, and they burn all night, you know, they burn all night, you know, they burn. Guess you're mostly Baptists out there, huh? Got a few Methodists in the back dancing. That's good. We need the Methodists down front on this one here, actually. Because this song goes out to First United Crystal Methodist, Durant, Oklahoma. And we're just now getting to the good part. And the good part's better if you're moving when it happens. Isn't it? Ruth and Lindy wear the cut-off breeches and the skinny little halters and they're second cousins to me. Man, I don't care, I wanna get between them with a great big old heart on like a old Bodark fence post. She could hang a pipe real gay from these sister twisters till the cows come home and we'll be having us a time. Having us a time. Uncle Slayton's got his Texan pride back in the thickets with his Asian bride. He's cut that corner pasture into acre lots. He sells them owner finance strictly to them. It's got no kind of credit because he knows they're slackers and they'll miss that payment. Then he takes it back. He plays that Choctaw bingo every Friday night. He drinks his Johnny Walker at the Club 69. We're gonna strap them kids and give them a little bit of Benadryl and a cherry coke. We're going to Oklahoma, gonna have us a time. Have us a time. Thank you.
just to what you did during supper. Together I'm a kite lying in the summer breeze, watching flowers. I tuck you into bed, falling straight up on the street, eating donuts, drinking coffee, fall asleep. Turn off the policeman's lights, it reminds me of getting up for work.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Some Hearts Never Heal from Dear Blanca. And then James McMurdy with Choctaw Bingo Live. It's a live recording. Hard Girls, they're Orange County. Sign of the Doom. No girls in the band, by the way. That's how hard they are. Juan McLean, I think they're out of maybe Providence. Yeah, what was that band? I played with the Six. They had synthesizers. One of the guys is from that band, Satellite Six or something. Maybe in the '90s. Remember, there was a big thing out of Providence, like a lightning bolt came out of that.
See, man, lightning bolt.
Yeah, six finger satellite. That's what they were called. Strange name.
Oh.
Yeah, and this cat, one of those cats, is in the Juan McLean now. And then finally, Daniel Kwan with Deja Vu. We're talking about Dear Blanca now. They've come along. Like you're still working on this new album, right?
Yeah. We're recording it slowly but surely down in Charleston with a friend of ours named Ryan Zimmerman. He's just a producer. We recorded that last EP with an EP called To Tell a Half Truth, and we just kind of wanted to repeat it. We just enjoyed working with him. Go back and do it again. He's got a new space now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask you, where is it? It's in the town. And people, you got to visit this town. It's an old-timey town. So I'm curious, what part of town is it?
It's pretty much right downtown. Not like King Street, which is where you're probably like more like where like Music Farm and all that kind of stuff is. But not far from there, like 5 minutes or so. It's on the peninsula. It's just kind of tucked away in a neighborhood. It's real unassuming. You would never know it was a music studio because you have to walk through this house to get to this back area where there's a separate unit that is this huge live room and mixing room and vocal room. He had some investors recently who helped him put this new spot together. He was recording for years out of a storage unit that he converted into like a pretty sweet little space, but now he made some great records there. That's where we actually recorded that last EP there.
What's the name? What's the name of your buddy's studio?
It's called Rialto Row.
Rialto.
Yeah.
You got still more of the Espanol there.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's why we're there.
No, it's cool. Very cool. We got a lot of Rialto over here.
Yeah.
Okay, and so about how far along are you?
We're kind of more riding it at this point. We've really been digging into.
Well, I asked because you just gave me two songs yesterday.
Yeah, we recorded the first couple of songs for it and have a lot in the bag, but we're kind of waiting until we have surplus of songs
to go
back. So that way we can kind of record a little more concisely in the, you know, just kind of make a week out of it or whatever it might be, and then pick and choose from a bigger batch of songs what we want to make on the final cut.
Okay. This tune here, Overpass, that I want to play. By the way, Tom Watson, Missing Man guitar player, he had a band after Slovenly called Overpass with Bobby Ho on drums. Yeah, and Scott Ziegler was the bassman. And I used to have fun with him and call him Underpants. Anyway, people, you're going to hear Overpass now from Dear Blanca, brand new. And at the beginning, you're going to hear Watt's voice because they included me in on this tune, reciting one of my poems.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Roller skater, wind her up and see you later. Turning left and getting down. Barrel down the straightaway, swing around. Colored lights and happy eyes. Speed, excitement, hypnotize. Power jamming a headlong block. Lots of action on the clock. Watch the jammer dazzle you. A red-winged blackbird through the rushes. Watch the blockers build a wall and take you down piece by piece around the rink. The hustle of the falls, the muscled mass moves. In an angry oval, in a joyous oval, in a passer's oval, in an insane oval. Now you know where you've been. You'll come back to the rink again. Floors shine really fine, reflecting colored images of your badasses. When you skate, you really wind them up. Eight wheels is bitching right, moving right out at speed of light. Skate around, and what's more, passing the blockers and jammers and getting a big score. She's a motivator, roller skater, roller skater.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come on, Gators, I wanna love you now. Everything's cool, too cool.
Take a look around me now as I see, and I imagine a sinister crowd talking aloud, and I think of what I want more, and the crowd disappears, and the fixated gaze envelops my wandering mind. And then she recruits and takes me to this place. I've been there before, and that's where I saw her face, in a sea of 100 dead and loving souls, in a sea of 100. Of 100 dead and loving souls, climbing a thousand unclimbed trees. I don't know, I want to know how it would feel to be on top of one of these.
Last chunk of music there, Watt Pedro Show. Dear Blanca featuring Watt with Overpass, not Underpants. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin in Madison, Wisconsin. They're doing Roller Skater, Roller Skater. Desertion in the Arsonist Match by Nick Melavoy. Los Horrendos with Glitter Doll. Thousand Dead, Loving Souls with Chicano Batman. Great band from here, East LA. Monsters on Vacation, that's Pete Batika. There's a longshoreman right there. In fact, Pizzo, or Second Man Organ Man, recorded this. Casa Hanzo. Shark's Feet at Night. Space Rangers with You Have a Boyfriend. And finally, Musclehead by Dear Blanca. Blanca, sorry. Musclehead. Usually when we use that word over here, it's kind of a lame one.
Yeah, that song is a weird one, man. Me and Mark were living together at the time, and it was a pretty rough part of town. And the next door neighbor went by the name Musclehead and had a dog who was also named Musclehead, which is just bizarre in itself. But so really, that song is kind of mostly quotes from bizarre conversations with neighbors in this really strange neighborhood.
What's it called? Kinda, does it have a name, that neighborhood?
Oh, I don't even know what. I don't think it's kind of behind Five Points in Columbia. I think there is technically a name for it, like Old Waverly or something like that, but it's, I can't even think of it, but it's, I mean,
you guys
it's
call it crazy town. Five Points.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So, the truth be told, right?
Okay. Yep.
Truth be told. So, that's Musclehead. And this is coming out of the new batch for the new album. Do you got a title for the album yet?
No, I don't. Actually, so that Musclehead track, I was going to send you another new one we were working on, but I decided to stew on it. That Musclehead song is off of our first record, so I kind of threw you for a curveball there.
Oh, it ain't new.
Yeah, that's... In fact, we're still a two-piece.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's people on the new stuff that wasn't even playing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's good, man.
It's hard to know. Yeah. It sounds pretty full.
Oh, for sure, yeah. There's like a, you know, all kinds of...
And that's your buddy in Charlotte, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. He kind of plays... I think he plays a little bit of piano on that song and a few little textural things throughout it.
Now, what about, Dylan, what do people want to learn about Dear Blanca on the internet? How can they find out?
Oh, man. Well, you can find us on, like, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, just Dear Blanca. Keep up with us.
Do you have your own website?
Yeah. It's just DearBlanca.com.
Okay, that's DearBlanca.com, people. Yeah, I urge everybody to do it because it's kind of like having your own fanzine, you know?
Yeah. I appreciate you letting them know how to find it, man.
Okay. And what about when you get this baby done? Are you going to tour it?
Definitely, man. We when I was out in California in May, when the two of us ran into each other, we were out there shooting a music video for that right. Overpass song that stars. There's a TV show that we grew up on called Even Stevens. From the Disney Channel, and there's a guy who was an actor on that show named Stephen Anthony Lawrence, and he's kind of popped into a couple of our music videos now. So we went out there and shot with him and my buddy Adam, who's a director out there, and so we're gonna eventually, you know, put this record out in the world when it's ready and gig a whole bunch. We just bought ourselves a new van, getting some miles on it, which has been good. Staying busy.
What kind of van?
Oh, man, this is a Chevy Uplander 2005.
Okay, 7 years my Econoline. They stopped making Econolines.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm kind of in love with the minivan life.
The summer of 2014 were the last Econolines. Ford now has this thing called the Transit. They've been selling Transits in Europe a long time, but now there's a U.S. version. But no more Econoline. God, I just love the name. Dylan, it's been such an honor to have you on board of the show. Thank you so much. Look, young people ask you for advice. What would you tell them about this music shit?
Oh, man. I think, I would just kind of preach the same gospel that I think some of the philosophy behind your early projects were. It's just, there's nothing like just doing it, you know? You can't, There's no perfect time. There's no perfect gear, no perfect approach. Just kind of got to dive in and pursue what you want to do. Pursue your creative pursuits and ride it out and have a good time along the way.
Well, like your pop said and like his ma said, your grandmother. So that,
yeah, man.
I think it's great advice. And again, thank you so much for being on the show. It's beautiful. And keep on keeping on. Keep that keel in the water, but just keep pushing. When you guys come out here, I want to come see you. It's been October 17th, 2018 edition of the Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Dylan Dickerson. Keep your powder dry.